Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, let's get it.
Friday the 13th edition, Doug Douglas and Griffin Kemp down here at the TI Golden Circle Sportsbook. And I guess everybody else was just too scared to come down here on Friday the 13th. But I'm telling you, this is the day to come. This is the day. I own a black cat.
Really?
Yes.
You're already starting off this Friday the 13th on a bad note if you got a black cat.
I'm leaning into all that stuff. I will, after we're done here, I'll go over that little craps machine over there, and I will be, I'll make my fortune. But more importantly, I think we're setting a record here.
Oh, what is
so
that?
It is Griffin, of course, who's normally here on Cofield & Company, but you're down here. Come see Griffin.
Oh, yeah. Come down here. Tell me how garbage my takes are. Tell me I could be a better producer. Whatever you got.
I thought that was my job to say what your garbage takes are.
Yeah, it is.
But I think, because I love Cofield & Company. Love, especially Adam Hill, when Adam and Steve are together, and they always brag about being maybe the heaviest show in Las Vegas.
Which we proudly hold that title.
But I think today, for at least Lotus Broadcasting, I'm talking all the 7,000 stations we seem to have, Jared back on the board, you and me, we're going to be the tallest.
The tallest edition of Cofield & Company. I think I agree with you. I mean, Jared is about, what, 6'3"?
I don't know.
Not even close.
Okay. Well, because he called you, before I ever met you, Griffin, and I know I've told you this before, but I said, oh, what about this Griffin new guy and everything? He goes, he is freakishly tall.
Freakishly tall is a bit much.
How tall are you?
I'm like 6'4", 6'5", around that range.
And I told him, because you and I, if I stand up straight now, I'm an old man now, I'm 6'4". And I go, somehow you just must look freakishly. I think we're the same height.
I'm almost pretty certain you have an inch or two on me. Like, but, when we stand up, I'm always kind of looking at you. When you're not looking at me, I sneak a little look like, dang, is Doug taller than me? Does he got a few inches?
I'll tell you what. This is the way we'll try this for a while. Mm-hmm. Dusty Slay, the comedian that you think he's from the South. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And he's been in, I think he's in an IHOP commercial. Anyway, he's coming Friday, July 25th at the Palazzo Theater. We've got a pair of tickets. I'm going to hide these. And if anybody comes down here and mentions that we are the tallest show, just the tallest show. I mean, we're not in the whole world, obviously. But you instantly get that pair of tickets. If you come on down here to the TI Golden Circle. Oh, I'm watching Oakmont. I'm doing everything. So it is going good. So do we just get right into it?
I say we dive right in.
Dive right into the 3 of 3. Let's go. We do have Mark McMillan, Matt Everett, and Chuck Esposito coming up as guests. But right now, NBA Finals Game 4 coming up tonight. Mm-hmm. Now, we will have the Aces on tonight.
As well, yes.
But we will have, well, not as well. We'll only have the Aces on
only
tonight.
Only Aces on
right.
tonight.
And due to, we always, local is what is the precedent here. So we've got the Aces coming up tonight. We will have Game 5 on the air on Monday. But you wanted to talk about, is it going to be rowdy in Indy tonight, or will it be a gentlemanly crowd,
yeah.
A Hoosier crowd, as John Cougar Mellencamp says, hospitality. Hoosier hospitality. That's right. So what do you think? Is it going to be crazy?
I mean, look at how the series has gone. The Pacers stole game one. Game two got away from them. But now they're back home in game three. They secured a win at home. So now game four, still at home. I think the crowd is going to put away those Hoosier hospitality ways, because they know what's at stake tonight. If they get a win tonight, they go up 3-1 against Oklahoma City Thunder, who've been honestly arguably the best team through the regular season, through the playoffs. So I think that tonight everyone can expect a pretty rowdy crowd over there in Indiana, and it's going to be really fun to see this game. It's been a great series, honestly.
It really has been a great series, and I know we'll get in the NHL, which has also been a great series. But here's what has most impressed me about this series so far. And this is why I like it being in Indiana and in Oklahoma, because you go to some places and you look in past, and the crowd, they can never get the proper, like, T-shirts wearing or anything.
Mm.
That game, I think it was game one in OKC, where it was every other section.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there'll be a few fans from the other team, so then all of a sudden, you know, there's a break. But my gosh, it's like solid yellow in Indiana. Yeah. It's solid blue in Oklahoma City on the game two. Game one, it was every other one. I mean, the crowd, it shows up great on TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's all this talk about viewership numbers for the finals, and, you know, two smaller market teams being in the finals could have a negative impact on those viewership numbers. But then what I think we need to focus more on, the fact that they're smaller market teams, I think the fandom, the home fans, they're showing up for these games. They are coming out there. Like you said, you look at you're watching the game on TV and you look into the crowd. Everyone's in sync with the same t-shirts. Yeah. The energy's great, whether it was in Oklahoma or in Indiana. So I think that, you know, the fan bases of these two teams are really showing out, and they're really getting everyone who's viewing it, everyone going and attending these games, they are being treated to an underrated finals that a lot of people aren't realizing because they're not tuning in, how interesting the dynamic is of these two teams.
We talked about a little bit on the arena. That's the one show that I am on Wednesdays. Greg Salerno will tell you it's the best show in the universe, as I've heard him say many times on Cofield and Company. I'm not sure about that. But the East Coast, if you are not a fan of the team, and we've talked about numbers hurting, you know, I'm sorry. This is where the NBA, MLB, almost everybody does it now. It's also starting now. Tonight's a Friday night. That's different. But when you have a midweek game and you're tipping off, and let's say you are from North Carolina, and maybe, you know, you're not a huge fan of either, but you like the NBA, but it's tipping off at, let's say, 8:40 at night on a weeknight. You think that has anything to do with it? If it's your team, that's different. That's why, you know, if it's New York, they would be staying up because it's their team. That's different. They even have kids staying up that late. But I mean, all of a sudden, it's not your team, and it's 9:45 at night. You got to work the next day in the morning. I'm like, I can barely make it on the West Coast. I'm an aged man, but, you know, I can barely make it the regular.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, it's weird. That's weird scheduling. And, you know, would that have a similar impact if this was to, say, be, you know, the Lakers versus the Knicks or Lakers versus Boston? You know, how many people would be tuning in with those weird start times in the middle of the week on weeknights starting late? I think that, you know, maybe the NBA should have put a little more thought into the fact that these are two smaller market teams. So maybe, you know, let's adjust the schedule a little bit. Let's make it a lot easier for people to tune in.
TV money, though, but it's all about TV money.
It is all about that TV money. But, you know, I feel like there's got to be a little bit more strategy when it comes to planning out these series.
Well, and the other thing is now we've got games like tonight. Then tomorrow night we've got the NHL again. Then Sunday, nothing. Then Monday. But, I mean, I was talking to a casual basketball fan this week. And, okay, it's my wife. I was talking to her, and she goes, okay. Oh, the game's on tonight, huh? And I go, which game? Because there was no game on.
Right.
Or there was no final game, whether NHL. I go, no. She goes, wait, they haven't played. I go, yeah, I know. There's no, it's not every other day. It's sometimes it's like 2 days off, and then you can't even say for travel, because sometimes on travel it is every other day.
Right.
But there's long gaps, and I think that you lose steam on.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, you need to keep the momentum going once the series starts. And, you know, early playoffs, we heard players from, like, the Denver Nuggets talking about how maybe there should be more breaks in between series because of the wear and tear in their bodies. But then we see in the finals where we have that weird little gap of no activity in this series. So it's, I mean, I feel like maybe, again, the NBA kind of looks back and be like, you know what, if maybe we give our players a little break going from series to series. And then, but once those series are going, we keep the momentum and we keep it going and we keep all those days close together, you know, not two or three whole days without games.
All I wanted to do was make fun of your take, but your first big take, I love. That's the way, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Once it gets going and it's rolling, you know, if it's Thursday night and there's a game, you know, oh, wait, Saturday there will be a game. Monday there will be a game. You know, it's every other day. And if there's a little break in between, that's okay. Yeah, so it has been a very exciting series. The Pacers, you know, I mean, I'm a Lakers fan. So, I mean, but the Pacers have brought an energy. I don't know. I'm on the Pacers bandwagon. I mean, Halliburton has been absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Me and Steve Cofield actually have an ongoing bet right now. Back when, after the Pacers won game one, me and him had a nice little wager on air. He said, basically, we have two Chicago roast Chicago beef sandwiches on the line. I already owe him two from back in the NFL season. We made a bet. I took the Pacers. He's got Oklahoma. Winner of the series takes all. Basically, if I win this bet, I no longer owe Steve Cofield two sandwiches. If I lose this bet, He's going to tack on a third sandwich on there.
So it's not quite double or nothing. You're getting some odds there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting some odds. So it's fun, man. I think that's been part of what makes this series so great is that Indiana came in, and honestly, a lot of people viewed them as a very big underdog. Didn't really give them a chance against Oklahoma with the reigning MVP and the incredible regular season they had. So the fact that the series started with Indiana with that crazy last, literally almost last second game winner.
Yes.
And then now they are continuing to go on, and now they're up in the series. So, like, that is awesome to see an underdog come out from nowhere and compete against this juggernaut in Oklahoma City. So, man, it's fun to watch.
Especially in the NBA. It happens a lot more in the NHL. I mean, the LA Kings won as an eighth seed.
Oh, yeah.
But the NBA, it doesn't happen quite as much. I have a friend who lives in Oregon, doesn't know. I swear, I've tried to explain gambling to him 1,000 times.
Right.
We'll talk with Chuck Esposito later. Maybe I'll tell him the story. He never knows, like, you know, you bet 110 to win 100 in most things, minus 110, blah, 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 which is probably smart for him.
Oh, yeah.
But he goes, oh, I'd like to put some money. This was before the series started. I'd like to put, you know, maybe like $40 on OKC to win the series. And I go, no. I go, they're minus 750. You don't want to put 40. What are you going to make, pennies? Or, you know, I mean,
I was going to say, what was even the payoff for?
Yeah,
that,
it's $8 or something. I can't do the math because it's so, I would never do that. I go, if you're going to do anything, take a flyer on the Pacers. I mean, at least you're getting plus money. If you're going to do 40. Now, if you've got $100,000, which he doesn't, and I don't either, you know, then you can bet a big underdog. Thank goodness right now he didn't. He could probably get way better odds. But, you know, you gotta know. Minus 750, I would never bet a minus 750.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we had John Von Tobel on earlier this week, and he kind of detailed why currently I believe Oklahoma City is still favored to win the series. I mean, if I had a little money burning in my pocket, I would run to the sportsbook, and I'm putting some money on Indiana.
Well, we're at a sportsbook down here at the TI, so maybe we can. We'll talk with Chuck Esposito coming up just a little bit before the tip-off of the game. But since this is the 3-3, let's move on to – you know, I've always been a huge, huge hockey fan. The Edmonton Oilers, what a game last night. And this was a big mistake that I've been making in these playoffs. It was 3-0 Florida in the second period.
Right.
I gave up on the game.
You can't.
The wife and I started to watch. You know, she goes, oh, can we watch our Netflix show? You know, there's a million shows. I go, yeah, sure. It's 3-0. Florida's going to roll this game, blah, blah, blah. So then we watch the show. I look, and it's an overtime.
Uh-huh.
That's how, and I was like, you got to be kidding. And then I was mad at myself because I go, when will I learn? These playoffs, whether it's the NBA or the NHL, you cannot quit on the team that's down.
Oh, yeah. No, Doug, you're one of my favorite people I work with at the station.
But does he never see me?
Nah, not at all. You got a funny voice. I like you a lot, Doug, but you are acting just like the people in Indiana, the TV news stations who gave up on the Pacers in game one when they flipped the game
over
to some news and some weather reports, and they missed one of the craziest moments in maybe Indiana Pacers franchise history. So, you know, you can't give up, especially this year. This seems like the year for underrated playoff series that are going to deliver whether people are watching or not.
I will say we messed up. It's supposed to be the 3-3. We're going to stop it at 2 because coming up after the break, we've got Mark McMillan. We are going to talk with him about, of course, football, mandatory mini camps, and so much here. This is Cofield and Company down at the TI Golden Circle Sportsbook. Come on down, say hi. We'll be back.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Doug Douglas and Griffin Kemp down here at the Golden Circle on Friday the 13th. Don't be scared. Come on down. And we've got Mark McMillan. I know him best from Grilling with McMillan. I watch all his Instagram things and all the fun there. How's it going today, Mark?
Oh, it's going good, man. You just reminded me today is Friday the 13th. I didn't even know that.
Uh-oh, I shouldn't put that in people's heads, should I?
I'm going good now. Just got to block that out. Friday 13th, just another day. Everything's good. The grill will be hot later on.
There we go. We're starting to think that Cofield and all his company, except for Griffin, are just too scared to come out on Friday the 13th. But we're here, and we're brave in it. So we're brave, and we thank you for being brave and picking up the phone.
I appreciate you guys having me on always.
Well, let's talk about a lot of mini camps going on, and Pete Carroll is out there of the Raiders, of course, wrestling with players, and there's giant bubbles in mini camp, and the Raiders seem to be keeping things loose during Carroll's first training camp with the silver and black. Is it, you've been in many camps, is this, are there other coaches with this style, or are you thinking, why didn't I get a coach with this style?
You know what? There was no way that you're going to get Reggie White or Jerome Brown or Randall Cunningham or Derek Thomas in Kansas City rolling around in a bubble. That wasn't going to happen. But, hey, times have changed, man. These guys are different. Coaches are just trying to do different things. And if it builds camaraderie with the team, I'm all for it. But you would not see any bubbles going around in the 80s and 90s NFL.
First of all, it's got to be hotter than heck in that bubble.
Oh.
I mean, have you ever been in a bouncy house in the summer? I mean, it's like a million degrees. When I saw that bubble came out, I thought, hey, you're going to burn yourselves.
Yeah, and it was kind of curious, like, who thought of this idea to, like, okay, last day of mini camp, and we're just going to bring out a bubble and have the guys just roll around in the bubbles rather than, you know, maybe work on some drills or work on some personnel issues or whatever they have. But, hey, whatever works, man, Pete Carroll's a proven winner, so I'm just going to roll with it.
Hey, you know, Mark, speaking about the Raiders and what they're working on, we've seen them add a couple more players up to this point of the offseason. They just signed Jermaine Pratt, linebacker over from the Bengals. Really good signing. Helps them with that linebacker need. And there's still a bunch of players out there right now that are rumored to possibly be targeted by the Raiders. You've got corner options like Jalen Ramsey, Jair Alexander. You got a bunch of different things, different ways they could go about it. Do you see them making any more additions before we get to training camp? And what position do you think is most important for them to focus on?
I talked about this the other day on Raider Nation about the defensive backs. I think they have a solid defensive back room right now. You talk about a Jalen Ramsey who's going to garner a lot of money. You know, he's older. You know, you look at Jair Alexander, who was known as a really good shutdown corner, but he's injury prone. So you're bringing in two older guys, one with injury, the other with Jalen Ramsey, and then a buddy of mine, Chris Hale, who actually played for the Buffalo Bills. We're breaking it down. If you really watch the film with Jalen Ramsey in Miami and the Rams, he's been beaten a lot. You know, he was just benefiting from a great Aaron Donald with a lot of pressure. That's why he was able to make some of those plays and get saved. But I would just stick with the guys that we have in the room right now as far as the defensive back, build those guys, and just go with it.
I mean, looking at the offensive side, you got a lot of, you know, holdouts from mandatory camp going around across the league. We got receivers like Terry McLaurin. He might possibly be an option for a trade. When it comes to the offensive side of the ball, do you see that? Do you see the Raiders possibly focusing on adding a receiver like a Terry McLaurin, or do you see them, and do you think it's more important for them to focus more on that offensive line?
Hey, if you can go out and get a McLaurin, who's a proven baller, man, I would go out and do that. I see the Commanders just extended a contract to their special teams player for a couple of million dollars, which is like, wait a minute, you got one of the top receivers who's done nothing but prove each and every year that he's a top number one receiver. I still say I don't think Jacoby is a number one for the Raiders, but obviously we're going to see how that works out. But he's the senior in the room right now, Jacoby Myers. So if you have an opportunity to go out and get a solid wide receiver to be your solid number one, I would be 100% on board for the Raiders to go out and do that.
What do football players do minicamp? Now, what do you do between now and the time to report? Is it a relaxation thing? How much do normally you're still working out, you're doing that kind of things? What does this quote-unquote downtime for most football players look like?
It depends on what kind of football player you are. You know, some guys go all, you know, go away with their family or go to the beach or go on a vacation. You know, my grind was, man, once I started in training camp, I just locked in, man. I stayed back and stayed focused and trained every day just to get ready for the season. And I know times have changed a little bit. These guys, they should be still refreshed. They don't hit pads. There's no two-a-day grind like they used to do, 7-on-7 live drills. These guys are out there in shorts and T-shirts looking real nice and fresh. So they should not be tired of anything. If anything, you want to be around the building as much as you can to show the new staff that you're serious about your job and you want to be a part of this organization.
Speaking with Mark McMillan, former NFL player, and, of course, grilling with McMillan, were you surprised at all when I had heard rumors that the Raiders might be doing minicamp up in Napa? And of course, last year they were in California, but it looks like, or it is, they're going to be here in Las Vegas. Were you surprised? Or do you think that's a good idea to keep it here locally or to find some cooler weather?
Well, I know, you know, it's always good to have cooler weather, but when you have a multi-million-dollar indoor facility, I think it's okay to have a training camp here and, you know, kind of set up something that the fans can at least watch from maybe different end zones. But, you know, it's your home base. You're in Las Vegas now. You're not in Oakland. You're not in L.A. This is where you reside at, so you want to continue to build your momentum while you're here and just stick it out. Like I said, it's going to be some hot dog days. And as reporters and guys that's covering this team like myself, we're going to be out there when it's 115, 120, you know, trying to get some interviews with these guys. But I think it's a good situation for the guys, and I'm sure there's a lot of travelers out there wouldn't mind coming to Vegas for a weekend to hang out and get a chance to see their Raiders up close.
Well, the chef is in, Chef Mark McMillan with Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas. Mark, we got this report yesterday that the Bengals' first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, left Mandatory Camp over his ongoing dispute with the Bengals and the contract negotiations. What do you make of this situation with the Bengals in that first-round pick of theirs? And obviously they have the Trey Hendrickson, their other defensive end, star defensive end. They're still in a contract dispute with him as well. What do you make of this situation? And during your playing days, did you ever hear rumblings about the Bengals franchise, about, you know, the financial side of things and players not necessarily wanting to go to that franchise because of those issues?
Well, Cincinnati was always a dump to play in. I know people talk about Philadelphia and the vet, but Cincinnati was a dump. I hated playing in Cincinnati. They wasn't good back then. They had a couple of players. Darnay Scott, I think his name was a receiver. Jeff Blake was a quarterback. Corey Dillon, that was a really good running back. But besides that, I don't think anybody's excited to just say, hey, I want to go to Cincinnati. You look years back with Taquio Spikes, he was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. Same thing, same deal. You have one of the best DNs in the league, and you can't even get him under contract. But you go sign your – you try to – I don't even think they made an attempt to sign their top pick. It is what it is. A young man, if I was him, I would have never showed up because he's not under contract. If things get really out of hand, he's probably going to he's not going to lose any money because he's not under contract for missing camp. But the Bengals put a lot of money. They got, $200-300 million, and we've seen the receivers and Joe Burrow as the quarterback. But they had the worst defense last year. So you would think they would try to get their defensive players signed. But, hey, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, and they will continue to be the doorstep of the Baltimore Ravens, maybe even the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm. We are down here, of course, at the Golden Circle Sportsbook. I am sitting here watching the Oakmont, the U.S. Open, and you were recently at Jermaine Dye's Celebrity Golf Classic. And here's the burning answer I have for you. Of course, Jermaine Dye, famous for being a baseball player, you a football player. Of the ex-athletes, which are the baseball players better at golf at this point of their lives? Are the baseball players, football players? Is it something maybe even like a hockey player? Who's best in all the celebrity golf classics that you've been? What is the best sport that they played before? On average, the best golfer?
Well, first of all, shout out to my guy, Jermaine Dye. I think they said they raised over $5 million over the last couple years for his charity and his foundation, and he's a World Series MVP back in the day for the White Sox, so I have to give my man a little love. But it's like a close 1A and 1B with hockey and baseball players. They can flat out stroke the ball, man. They can flat out hit it. Football players, we're still a little aggressive. You know, we try to be real aggressive with it, and that doesn't work in golf. But, man, to see hockey players and to see baseball players, Jermaine Dye was actually playing in front of us, and they finished like 45 minutes before our group finished. So that goes to show you that they were driving the ball really well and making putts. And when we got in the clubhouse, they're already done with dinner.
That's the way to do it. Speed golf is get if you're playing behind somebody, make sure they're hockey or baseball players. Well, Mark, we appreciate you coming on. I'm sorry I reminded you that it's Friday the 13th. Go with fun. Get in front of that grill and make a great Instagram video, because I'll be watching it later to decide what I'm going to have for Sunday, which, of course, is Father's Day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man, and happy Father's Day to all the listeners out there. Have a great, safe weekend, and happy grilling, fellas.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Mark.
I appreciate it.
All right, when we come back, we will get into some Aces basketball. They host Dallas tonight at the Michelob Ultra Arena at Mandalay Bay, and we will talk about whether, you know, whether they can get on there. 4-4 right now. We'll get into it a little bit coming up next on Cofield & Company here on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Accepting the craziness. Well, we saw you wrestling Munford the other day. And
now I wasn't wrestling with him. I pinned him.
It's Cofield & Company.
Yes, it is Cofield & Company. That was Pete Carroll talking about his impressive wrestling moves we've seen him put on back at Raiders camp. I am Griffin Kemp with Doug Marsh. We are here at the Golden Circle TI Sportsbook and Bar. It is a great time down here on Friday the 13th.
See, on the air, I'm Doug Douglas.
Doug Douglas. Yeah. I was wondering, because I was looking, I was doing my, you know, prep, which I usually do for each show, and I was looking, I was typing your name for the show, tweet and everything, and I'm like, wait, Doug Marsh? That's not usually.
Wait, you're written out. Now all these fans will come stalk me. Now it's a liability.
You are a hot commodity in this town. I'd be stalking.
Doug Douglas. Well, Doug it just Douglas. Sounds better. It's got alliteration. It's it could have been Marsh Marshall.
It hits those beats. Doug Douglas.
Yeah, exactly. Like while, you know, everybody thinks, who's running our board right now, Jared Justice, that's his fake name. That's his real name. That's just a cool name. Jared Justice. You got it all right there. And, of course, I worked for many years with Mitch Moss, who you can still hear on Follow Money over on 1230 The Game in the afternoons. Bob Costas one time called him out and said, that's not your real name.
Bob Costas,
yeah.
Really?
He was saying, and a guy named Mitch Moss. I think Mitch still has that audio. And you know, oh, that can't be a real name. That's a radio name. But yep. No, that's his real name.
That's the fun part about being in the media. You kind of get these moments where you kind of, you know, maybe get threatened by an athlete or you get called out by a big sports figure. Maybe, you know, later in the 2 o'clock Reno hour, I'll, you know, we're sharing stories and especially talking combat sports. Maybe I got a little something as well. So stay tuned for that for sure.
That's right. I'm going to tell Griffin my Brock Lesnar story, which spans from UFC 96 to UFC 100. And Steve Cofield was there for both of the things that happened. And I have evidence that it happened because I still have the one thing of Brock Lesnar. So he may come down here and get it back. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about, of course, tonight, starting at 6:30 with T.C. Martin, it'll be Aces versus the Dallas Wings. Aces are hosting the Dallas Wings tonight. Just check the point spread, -6. The Aces are favored by 6. The Aces right now are 4-4. The Dallas Wings are 1-10. To say that the start for the Aces has not been good would be an understatement, especially considering some of the teams that they've lost to. The Valkyries, the expansion Valkyries, being one. In fact, they didn't lose to them. They got blown out by them up in Golden State. But the worst thing that happened last game was Asia Wilson went out in the third. Mm-hmm. I mean, she got popped in the face, blood streaming out of her nose. She came back in.
Right.
But then I think headache. Last I heard from Coach Becky Hammond from earlier today was she is a game time decision. Now, you look at Dallas and you think, okay, 1-10.
I have an update on that.
Oh,
please.
Go, Jared. Thank you.
Asia
Jared Justice.
Wilson is in the concussion protocol. She will not face the Wings tonight.
Well, that'll make the sports
ESPN
update.
ESPN National is reported.
Thank you. That'll make my sports update. You may have to record something to put in COE6300. We're talking behind the scenes there. Because in my sports update, it'll say Asia Wilson game time decision. So Asia is out. I wonder if that will change the point spread at all. I just checked the point spread. We're at a Gold Circle TI. Next break, I'll walk over and see. But the Dallas Wings now, Paige Beckers is back in her last game. They lost, but she scored 30 points.
Yeah.
So you look at tonight, and then you look at Sunday. The Aces are still at home on Sunday. They play the Mercury. It's way too early, but you can't say must win. I mean, my gosh, they're 8 games into their season. But how important is the game tonight that the Aces show some defense? I think that's where it's been lacking.
Yeah.
And put the clamps on. And don't fall behind by 15, 20 points.
Right. Yeah, no, you know, looking back at that game where they went up and faced the Valkyries, I actually had the opportunity to run the board along with T.C. Martin, run that game. So I got a nice, up-close look at these struggles these Aces are going through this season. And honestly, you know, you hear Becky Hammond talking about the issues with effort, issues with defense. I think that tonight's game is probably very important for their season. I wouldn't call it a must win, but I would call it a must put on a great performance without your best player, arguably the best player in the league. AJ Wilson's going to be out. That should be, if I'm Becky Hammon, I'm pitching it to him, or I'm pitching to the team, you know, we don't have AJ tonight. So, you know, these issues with defense, these issues with effort, let's see what we can do when we apply a little, when we work harder on the defensive side, when we actually put forth better effort. Let's see what we can do without the best player in the league on our squad, you know, and then maybe if they can gel, maybe they find a way to win, get this done. And then you get Asia coming back. That's a nice little kickstart to get the season on the right tracks.
Well, I think sometimes with the team sport, and of course you played football, sometimes when your star goes out for a short amount of time, the team can kind of rally around it. And I think, you know, I don't want to say it's a good thing because it's not, but for a short period of time, the team can overcome that and it can actually bring the team perhaps closer together. And like you said, they know they've got to do A-plus effort tonight because their star is out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a matter of, you know, what do we have besides an all-star? You look at the NBA, you know, teams that have their stars or maybe they have a duo in their starting five. It's a matter of what can the rest of the team contribute? So I think that's very important for them tonight. I think the Aces need to show that effort. Yes, Paige Eckers is going to be back in there, and she is absolutely, you know, you can almost guarantee she's going to get at least 20. She's going to put up some points. But you got to put out the effort. Even if you don't win, the team needs to show, like, we have fight. We want to be here. We want to be in this season, even with the struggles we currently have, which, I mean, 4-4 is not, they're not dead in the water by any means. It's very early, but still. Show the effort tonight. Show what you are. Show you what you are as a team. Show that culture, even if your best player is not in.
We talked about in the first segment today here at the Golden Circle Sports Bar at TI. We talked about how the NBA and the NHL, once the series get rolling, they really got to get rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think for the Aces, they've had a lot of changes. You know, they lost some assistant coaches because they went to become coaches with the Valkyries, or they lost, you know, a lot of personnel behind the scenes. So it's a new staff for the players. They also lost Kelsey Plum, and they picked up Jewel Lloyd from Seattle. And right now, Jewel Lloyd has not probably been what they expected. But they also have had huge gaps in when they played their games. So you look at the Dallas, they've already played 11 games.
Mm.
Now, granted, it's not way more, but the Aces have only played 8. So I still think, you know, when you're trying to get used to something and then you have 4 or 5 days off, I don't think that helps all the time. I think sometimes you just got to get in there and you got to get the rhythm going. They haven't been that. That will end now because they play tonight. They play Sunday. They play Tuesday in Minnesota. Then they come back. I mean, now I think in the next week and a half, I think we'll know what the rest of the season kind of will be for the Las Vegas Aces.
Yeah. We should know. I mean, especially if Asia Wilson's in concussion protocols, it's going to be more than just tonight's game that she's going to be missing out.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so they really got to figure out. They really got to, you know, work through the weeds. Work through the weeds. Don't collapse. Don't feel like it's all lost because Asia's out. Go out there, put forth that effort to show that this team has some fight. Show why this team. A year ago was back-to-back reigning champions. Like, let's go. Let's go, Aces. Come on.
It's time to go, and you can hear that game tonight on ESPN Radio at 6:30. When we come back, we'll talk with the voice of UNLV football, the voice of UNLV basketball, and one of the voices of the Aviators, Matt Nevert, coming up next.
Yep, but before we do that, you mind if we do a little giveaway here?
Do it.
Hey, we have the Battle for Las Vegas going on between the Las Vegas Raiders, the Vegas Golden Knights softball game. That will be taking place next month.
July 12th,
next month. You can get your tickets right. You can get a pair of free tickets right now. We are doing a giveaway. Let's do caller 7. Caller 7, 702-364-1100. Call in for an opportunity to win 2 tickets to the Battle for Las Vegas between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Vegas Golden Knights. 702-364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company.
Swung on, lifted shallow to right field. A fading ball that drops in front of Cavadas for a base hit. Here comes Susak around third. He'll score without a throw. An important tack-on insurance run driven in by Major League rehabber Gio Urshela has made this game 6-4.
Live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Doug Douglas here, along with Griffin Kemp, filling in on Friday the 13th on Cofield and Company. Congratulations to Richard. He picked up the two tickets to Battle for Vegas, and we've got Matt Nevert on the line. Matt, how you doing on a Friday the 13th?
Hey, Doug, Griff, an unlucky day, but I'm feeling lucky to be on with you guys.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, everything's breaking the right way right now for the first place Aviators, and I just want to get – I listen to a lot of your guys' broadcasts, so I know, but can you let everybody know why it's so important they're in first place and why that'll become more important in about, what, a week and a half for now if they can stay in first place?
Even less time than that, guys. Yeah, the first half, second half playoff format, something that not a lot of people really have understood or even have been a fan of, but the longer it goes, the more it kind of makes sense at the minor league level. Basically, the season split into two 75-game halves. If you win that first half, you're in first place at the end of the first half, which is going to be next Sunday, end of day. You not only make the playoffs at the end of the season, you get to host the best of three series. So that's big, not only from the home field advantage side of things for the players, but for the teams as well, because you can just market the living heck out of that playoff series for the entire second half. So right now, Las Vegas in first place, 3.5 games on top of second place Oklahoma City, 5 games up on Sugar Land where they will play next week. Aviators' magic number right now is 7, and they're pretty close, and it's been a lot of fun to watch them try to chase down this first half championship.
They take on the Salt Lake Bees tonight, first pitch 7:05, and I know you guys have a big water drive going out there starting in about an hour and 10 minutes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, water drive is going to be just outside the main entrance. We actually have Q Myers from our Raider Nation radio station.
Oh, no, we don't like that guy. No.
He's doing his show right now from our home radio booth. I've heard him talking about it a bunch. Yeah, it's a big deal, especially this time of year. And, you know, really happy to continue that partnership and get it going. And, you know, really happy to be able to promote it. And, again, that means so much. So people come out and donate water and come on out to the game tonight, 7:05 first pitch for Fireworks Friday.
And at the beginning of the year, Matt, I want to get your expertise on baseball. All we heard about was the Yankees and their torpedo bats. And it seemed like a very small sample size, but it was going to revolutionize the game. Oh, it's changing everything. Home runs, it'll be up 700%. I don't hear about that so much anymore. What happened to the talk about the torpedo bats, or am I just watching different broadcasts or listening to different broadcasts?
No, I think it was almost a quick fad. You know, a lot of it from the marketing side, from these bat manufacturers trying to take advantage of all the hype. You know, the moving the weight up and down the bat is something that's been done for years and years and years. Guys have always been kind of experimenting. But the torpedo bat, in my opinion, and what they've kind of started to figure out is that it's more for a very specific type of hitter, a guy who gets jammed often and needs to move some of the weight from the end of the bat closer to the handle by moving that entire barrel, shifting it closer towards the handle of the bat. You know, certain guys, it benefits. Certain guys tried it but didn't like it. And if you're a guy who hits a lot of, you know, end-of-bat shots the other way, little flare jobs, it's not going to benefit you. And it, you know, really came into vogue and really came out of vogue very quickly. There's certain guys that are still using it. I remember seeing Seth Brown here last week with the Aviators using one. But he's one of those guys that tinkers. He would use it for an at-bat and then go back to a, you know, more quote-unquote regular bat in his next at-bat. So I think guys have just always kind of tinkered, and it was something that kind of caught the national attention because of how funky they looked. You know, they're not going to go away, but I definitely don't think that it's going to be anything that, you know, sticks around from the big-time perspective, a lot of the big players as well. I think Aaron Judge might have had the best answer earlier this season when somebody asked him why he wasn't using it. You know, why don't you try it? He goes, I think I'm hitting just fine with the bats that I've been using.
We are here with Matt Nevert. He is on with Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas, play-by-play voice for UNLV Athletics, Las Vegas Aviators. Matt, the Athletic put out an article talking about the public data that's available from the MLB that shows that there seems to be more drag on the ball during this season. In fact, there's more drag on the ball coming up about 4 feet short during this season, averaging coming up short 4 feet. What do you make of that? Is that kind of, I mean, we just talked about the torpedo bat. You would think that with the inclusion and how much hype the torpedo bat and talk there was around it, that there'd be, you know, more reports and we'd be seeing balls, more home runs, longer balls going out. What do you make of the report? And do you think this is just an anomaly or something that we should look into more?
Well, we were talking about players themselves tinkering with bats and trying to make some adjustments. The league itself, Major League Baseball, has been making adjustments to the ball itself you know, for a number of years. It all goes back to, I think, 2019, that historic home run season where it basically came out that they were using what was, you know, colloquially referred to as a Goldilocks ball in certain bigger games to try to drive up some more offensive ball with a tighter wound core that would go further on average. So they've been trying to tinker with, you know, finding ways to standardize the ball. That's a big thing as well. But also trying to find ways to make it, you know, good for the game itself as a whole. You know, everybody's making those adjustments, so you got to adjust to the adjustments. One of the things that I'm interested in when it comes to the ball and the drag is not only the seams, the width of the seams, how tall they are, how thick the actual fiber of the red seams are, but also the tackiness. We heard a couple of years ago when the Olympics were in Japan that they had been using balls that they had already been using in Japan that were kind of pre-tackified, pre-sticky. You don't need to rub it down, use that Mississippi mud on it. And a lot of the players that came back, including Nick Allen, who was on the Aviators that season, told us that they really like that ball. And I think that we're starting to see Major League Baseball trying to find a way to kind of go in that direction as well. So I don't think this is going to be the last that we hear of, you know, changing ball, some public data that's going to, you know, really show one way or the other that the balls are going further or shorter. It's also just a storyline. Rob Manfred has shown no fear of tinkering with the ball and really doing it without any kind of overhead or any kind of conversations with the players' union. I think that's also going to be something very, very much discussed in this upcoming collective bargaining agreement. That's going to be those discussions taking place in this offseason. It's going to be a bloodbath legally between the players' union and the league, and I think the balls are going to be a big thing that comes up for sure.
Why do I feel like we should rename this segment, thanks to the questions that Griffin and I are asking? We'll call it Physics with Matt Neverett. On Friday the 13th. We got spin rates. We got all the kind of things.
Oh yeah.
If there is, and we're not at the halfway part of the season yet, but if there's a team right now on the outside, even on the outside of the wild card in the majors, that you're kind of looking at saying, you know, I could see them making a run and getting into a really good spot, whether it's a wild card spot or even taking a division, what's a team maybe fans should be looking at?
You know, one team that I've kind of had my eye on all season long in the American League is the Minnesota Twins. They're 8 games out of that division, but right now they would be in a wild card spot. I think also in the National League, you got to really keep an eye out for the Milwaukee Brewers. Right now they're 2.5 back of a wild card spot, but they're one of those teams that they're turning into the Rays, where all of a sudden they can take other teams' scraps when it comes to pitching and turn it into gold. We saw Jacob Mizorowski make his Major League debut yesterday and do what he does, throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs with ease. Left the game due to a minor injury, but he should be good to go. And I think that Brewers' bullpen, including former Aviator Jared Koenig, is going to be very much a big part of why they're going to make a run at the end of the season. You know, that NL Central is interesting this year. The Cubs, I think, are going to run away with that division. The Cardinals, the Reds, and the Pirates, really nothing to worry about when it comes to the playoffs. So I think the Brewers really control their own destiny, and we've seen time and time again the teams with the best bullpen at the end of the season really can supplement a bad start. And I think the Brewers are going to be a team like that this year.
Matt, we appreciate it. We're up against the clock, and we will be listening to you tonight on Raider Nation Radio. First pitch against the Salt Lake Bees, Aviators hosting them 7:05. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Absolutely, guys. Good luck here on Friday the 13th.
Oh, boy, we need that down here. I'm at a casino. I told you. Right after this. Well, we've got the Reno Hour coming up.
Yep.
I have family in Reno.
Really?
I've told them to listen. So my aunt, 94 years old, I'm not even going to say happy birthday to her yet because she can't hear it yet because we're not in Reno.
Right.
So when we come back, it'll be the Reno Hour, and we will be talking UFC, and the Brock Lesnar story will emerge. We'll see how good Jared and Griffin are at talking when we come back on Cofield & Company, live from the Golden Circle at the TI.